3, lots to come on the show, including our Culture Crunch, which we're going to have the Ashmolean Museum, Britain's oldest museum, and the Christchurch Picture Gallery as well. And I kid you not, 28 members of the Merton College Choir are going to come in at the end of the show and sing us some folk songs. But now, having been battered and bruised by our five young spokesmen for the political parties, normal services being resumed, we're going to take a bit of a break from the election and talk about normal things, while I imagine politics may sort of stray into it. And our first guest is Betsy Glasgow Vasey, who is the chief executive of Ridge Carbon Capture, which is based in Oxfordshire, which undertakes peatland restoration. It's an affiliate of the Ridge Clean Energy Company. Welcome to the show, Betsy Glasgow Vasey.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me. My long distant uncle, perhaps.
Why have you got my surname? It's my surname. Who gave it to you?
I think it was the French, to be honest. I think they gave it to all of us.
So you were born Betsy Glasgow and you married a Vasey.
I did marry a Vasey.
And it's
It's
spelled differently, but there are very few of us.
There are very few. I would say ours is spelled correctly, but I guess we could argue about this
just
later.
Just to be, I can't believe anyone's remotely interested, but you're spelled V-A-S-E-Y as we have this very, very niche conversation. The other niche thing I'll throw in is that the head of the Bodleian Library used to be a man called David Vasey, which was V-A-I-S-E-Y.
Oh, interesting.
Anyway, that's enough of that. Let's talk about, you've brought some peat in a jar to illustrate your work as a peatland restorer.
Indeed. Well, what I wanted to talk to you about, starting with peatland restoration, is the importance of peatland restoration specifically here in the UK.
Everybody knows what peat is, but just remind us.
So peat is a type of landscape, a type of ecosystem that is essentially a huge carbon store. So for example, peatlands...
It's a bog.
It's essentially a bog. So if you've ever been
It's where you find dead bodies that are 3,000 years old.
Yeah, it's not a good place to bury bodies, indeed, because they do preserve for a very long time. So what I have here, actually, is some 5,000-year-old wood, but you can see it's still completely intact.
Wow.
And that's just testament to how strong these peatlands are and how powerful they are, essentially trapping slowly decomposing vegetation. And with that decomposing vegetation is huge amounts of carbon.
There's no peat in Oxfordshire.
There are small pockets of peat, but no, it's not known for this type of peat.
Why are you in Oxfordshire and not in Scotland?
Well, I've lived here since I was 8.
Oh, okay.
Despite my accent.
And how do we? Is it about saving the peat we have, or can't presumably kind of increase peat?
No, what you can do is you can get these peatland landscapes back on the road to recovery. Mm-hmm. And so within the UK, we have close to 3 million hectares of peatland, which are all trapping carbon and doing incredible things for our emissions and our biodiversity levels that we have here. And if we can get these peatlands back on the road to restoration, if we can stop the drainage that's happened to them, the other forms of degradation, then they will continue to accumulate and trap carbon rather than be a source of carbon as they currently are.
So they're effectively our Amazon rainforest?
Essentially, yes. So,
Can you just explain briefly to the layman, how does peat capture carbon?
So peatlands, the way that they're formed is through the slowly decomposing vegetation, and as this vegetation has grown in its lifetime, it's carried out photosynthesis. Part of that is obviously creating carbon, which when it reacts with the atmosphere forms carbon dioxide. So when you can keep these peatlands in a waterlogged condition, that carbon dioxide is trapped within the vegetation and continues to be sequestered rather than contributing to emissions. So globally, peatlands cover less than 0.5%, less than 0.5% of the entire globe's surface, but they make up 5% of international emissions, which is more than international aviation. Oh. So they are hugely powerful, and they could be essentially mitigating climate change for us, but they just aren't as high up on the agenda as they should be.
So I said that politics might intrude, and so the obvious question, particularly in the middle of an election campaign, is I know this sounds like a bizarre question, but shouldn't the political parties have a peatland strategy?
Absolutely. I think it all comes into how can we put carbon on a level playing field? And this also links to Ridge Clean Energy, which Ridge Carbon Capture is an affiliate of, where we develop onshore renewable energy parks combining wind, solar, and battery. And same for the renewables industry. We need to have an honest conversation about carbon and how we're actually going to manage emissions and make it economic. And peatland and renewables, it's all within the same conversation.
And so how are you getting, in terms of the, you talked about peatland being drained. Presumably the local communities have a huge interest in this, and some of them will see economic benefit in draining peat, because you can use peat for fuel, for example.
Exactly.
How do you get them engaged, as it were, to potentially reverse that view and understand the wider benefit of preserving the peatland?
Yeah.
So it's not exactly a tourist attraction, for example.
Depends. I've been on some very pretty bogs, but absolutely. Getting communities on board, whether it's peatlands, whether it's renewables, you know, it's something that the transition needs to be something that we all understand, and local communities are brought along on that journey. So when it does come to something like peatland restoration, actually communities that live near peatlands that are damaged are usually prone to flooding, and peatland restoration also increases flood resilience. So there are some benefits to peatland, but equally it's for example taking schools out, showing them what a peatland is from a young age, teaching them about the importance of this and how it needs to be something that's much more part of, again, the political agenda, as well as in our day-to-day lives, thinking about how can we be protecting these landscapes.
And are we one of the few countries in the world that have a lot of peat?
So I would say, respective of the landmass we have, absolutely. But of our peatlands, 80% are actually in a damaged state. So we do need to do a lot to reverse them. But you're right. Over the years, the UK has really benefited from an excellent peatland resource, and we need to turn them from being this carbon source into a carbon sink.
And what other countries have got a good peat strategy?
Good peat strategy. Ooh, that's a really good question.
Do the Norwegians have a lot of peat?
Well,
the Icelandics?
The EU has
actually...
They have... Interesting, the Falklands have a heck of a lot of peat.
Britain dominates peat.
The EU has recently passed into law, I think it's nature restoration law, and I think that's doing a lot in terms of peatlands. But the UK is a world leader, and I do think the way that we look at our peatlands and the regulations we have around restoring peatlands, carbon markets, you know, the financial mechanisms that we have going into them, we could easily be exporting elsewhere and teaching other countries how to do this.
Now, Betsy Glasgow-Vaser, you've got a political background.
I do indeed.
Have you worked for any MPs?
I did. So I was very lucky in that my local constituency MP, when I graduated from uni, was the now Lord Cameron of Chipping Norton. So I worked for him for a year, and then I carried on and worked for Robert Courts, who took over from David when he stepped down in West Oxfordshire.
That probably now means I now have to read out all the candidates in West Oxfordshire. Oh. So thanks a lot for that. You know, if you just stuck with David Cameron, I would have been all right.
No, Robert, because the boundaries have changed. So Robert's somewhere else. You might still...
Well, he's still a candidate now,
Tim's Betsy. Tim's shaking his head.
I've now got to read it out, thanks to you. That's brilliant. Well, Betsy Glasgow-Vaser, thank you so much for joining us on Times Radio and talking about peatland restoration and bringing in some 5,000-year-old wood, which I'm now shaking next to the microphone so that Times Radio listeners can share the joy of what it's like to be so close to some 5,000-year-old wood, which looks just like wood. This is Ed Vasey on Times Radio.